Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in this moment. Hallelujah. Everybody, close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Oh yes, sana moro koto to poyo uta pare galani. Isana mogori oro sana da hi kalabo yoto to poyo to hota hi kalabo. Ita le kalabo yoto oto foti ale kalamo yoro lo hina sane. Ora sane o yara sana hi. Ora e kale bogoro lo boro hita sana na kata pototo. Ita e kale boyo oto to poyo oko paye si kita te. Ora siga la voto, ora siga la ahí. Hoy sane, ahí verá, ahora será bien ahí. Ahora verás ahí sanaí, ahora sí sanaré. Ahora sanaré, ahora sí sanaré, ahora sí sanaré. Ahora es el día de sanidad, ahora es el día de sanidad. Ahora muchos han venido a sanar, ahora es el día. Yes, today is the day of healing, the day of restoration, the day of healing. Today is the day of healing. I have called you to come this day because this day is the day that I will go into you and heal you like never before. You will see my hand move in you like never before. It is the time of healing, time of healing, time of healing. Today is the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your healing power. Ora sane, ora si sane, ora si. So right now, I am asking if there's anyone in this building that is dealing with any sickness, virus, disease, anything that you have in your body right now, even physical, even mental, even emotional, any type of healing that is needed, I'm going to ask you to come forward this moment. Come forward and receive your healing. Hallelujah. The Lord showed me there was two individuals here. There are two individuals that are in need of healing. Thank you, God Almighty. Lord, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do not neglect this opportunity. This is your time. This is your moment. If you have been dealing with something emotionally, physically, mentally, whatever it is, this is the time to come. Hallelujah. Sana ora santia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let us continue. If you will open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. If you can lower my mic on the mains, please. On the house speakers, the fader. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. I'm going to read out of the New American Standard Bible. Thank you, Lord. If you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, we have it on the screens for you. Thank you, Jesus. So
So it says like this. Genesis chapter 35 verse 37 verse 5. It says, then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Again, then Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. Father, we thank you so much for the reading of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the miraculous power. We thank you, Lord, for being here with us. We thank you for the moving, Lord, of your spirit. Thank you for healing lives, Lord. Thank you for restoring the lives of people who need of you. We thank you so much, God, for this hour, this very hour that we are in. Lord, use me as your voice box. Help me to articulate, Lord, the words and the things that you have me to say today. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Joseph. We all know the story of Joseph. Amen. Joseph was the youngest brother out of, I believe, at least 10, the father of Jacob. And if we read the story of Joseph, we will see that Joseph was the most favorited child out of them all. Ever read the story? Jacob loved Joseph unlike the other ones. You know, as a parent, we're not supposed to be playing favorites, but sometimes it accidentally happens. I have no choice, you know? But in the story, he was the most favored child out of them all. He was the youngest at the age of 17 at the time of the story. His brothers hated him so much because of it. They were so jealous because of the love that Jacob had towards Joseph. Obviously, it was so visible that they just hated him. But there came a time in Genesis chapter 37 when Joseph had a dream. Not only did he have one, but he had two. But in this dream, he shared it with his brothers. Now, if you look at how he did it, you could almost see as if he was gloating. I don't know if he was or not, but it seemed like it. So when he started to explain this dream to them, he started explaining that in his vision, he was greater than his brothers. His brothers already hated him because he was a favorite. This put more, how do you say, coal on the fire. They put more into the fire that they ate. They made it. The Bible says that they hated him even more. So because of this, they wanted to kill Joseph. Now, to hate somebody so bad that you want to kill them is something out there. And it's even greater of a concern when you want to kill your own family. It's huge. But they hated him so much. It was a passionate type of hate that they wanted to physically kill their own brother. To the point that they actually started planning this whole thing. They came amongst each other and started talking about how we're going to do it. What are we going to do? Even to the point of how they're going to tell their dad. Let's say we grab his cloth and just rub it with, get an animal blood and then show it to him and say, tell him some kind of ravished animal got him, tore him to pieces. They went so far to imagine the whole thing from beginning to end. But then there was this brother named Reuben, who somewhat stood up for Joseph. And he said, don't lay a hand on him, don't kill him. They just throw him in a pit. They just throw him over there, leave him alone. Let him rot there on his own. So they agreed. They threw him in a pit. While he was there, some traders were walking by and saw him. So the brothers sold him to these traders. And these traders were showing Joseph. And it was a man by the name of Potiphar, who was an Egyptian officer, who purchased him and bought him as a slave. When this happened, Joseph grew in favor with this man. So much to the point, he became his personal servant. Then, on top of that, because how Joseph continued being and functioning in the way he knows how, in excellence, he became the overseer of this whole house. He was able to go in every room, in every place he wanted to with his house. There was no restrictions for Joseph. Because of the favor that was on Joseph in this moment, he could do whatever he wanted. Even though he was a servant, he still had that favor. Now, if you look at the pattern of the story, first he was in a high level of favoritism with his father. Then he was thrown in a pit. Then sold, and when he was bought by Potiphar, Potiphar lifted him up. So we see this lift up of this young man. He found favor in his eyes, but then comes the fall. Potiphar's wife started running after him, started looking for him, started trying to, try to lure him to be with her. But Joseph, being the man of excellence, the man of God, he said, no, leave me alone. But she continued. The Bible says day after day after day, she pursued Joseph. And Joseph continued to neglect. But one day, Joseph made the mistake and he went to work in a room all by himself. And that's when the wife of Potiphar saw that he was alone. There was nobody around, and she went in and forced herself on him. But again, like the man of God, he said no and ran away. But unfortunately, this moment, she grabbed his garment. When he left, she started screaming and shouting, started inventing a story that Joseph wanted to take advantage of her. Then what happens next? Potiphar enslaves him. So you see the pattern that's going on here with Joseph. He was favored with his father. In the pit, sold, lifted up with Potiphar, but now he's in jail. Ups and downs, ups and downs. Now he's placed in the prison. But Joseph still had a dream. His dream was so clear, and I can just imagine that it was a dream who gave him the umph to continue on regardless of the circumstances that he was in. It was the dream that kept him going. It was the dream that he received from God that kept him saying, I'm going to stand in integrity and continue to work no matter where I am in this hour. He continued on. Every time he went down, he continued to be the same. There was never a change in his character. Never. Continued to serve with his heart and did everything well, regardless of the circumstances of where he was. Now, in the Bible, there are many instances and stories of great and mighty men and women of God. Many that have made a choice to surrender their lives and their purpose to serve and function in the direction of the Almighty. As you look through the scriptures, you see men and women doing things, making a choice, regardless of who they were around, to serve God. As I looked at the lives of these individuals and at the great things they did, I come to a realization that the reason why they were able to do the amazing things they did and why they were able to succeed in accomplishing these amazing things, some would say impossible works, was because of their faith. If it wasn't for the faith that these individuals had, they would have never been successful. Because it takes a type of faith in order for an individual to be successful. You cannot function in this walk without faith. Faith is the nucleus of the believer. If you do not have faith, if you do not work in faith, if you do not think in faith, if you do not talk in faith, you will not be successful in this faith walk. It will be impossible for that to happen. Impossible. In faith, they make choices to believe in an unseen God. They made that decision. If we would see and examine these individuals and the things they've done and how they did them, without that logical way of thinking and seeing, we would call them crazy and foolish, and their decisions to trust that is invisible. It is not logical to think the way we do as believers. It's not logical because it doesn't make sense. It does not make sense. It takes a crazy faith. A crazy faith. Now, there's a difference between crazy faith and regular faith. When you came in and you sat down on that chair, you knew that chair was going to sustain you. That's regular faith. But it takes crazy faith. It takes crazy faith. It takes crazy faith to grab your child, take him with you, lay him on an altar, pick up your knife. That's crazy faith. Last week, our lead servant Terrellyn talked about that. That's crazy faith. It's a faith that it is not logical at all. They will call you crazy for doing something like that. Psychotic even. But it's a different kind of faith. Look at Moses. Moses was stuck between Pharaoh's army and water. What would you do in that instant? I'm done. But it takes crazy faith to hear a word from God. Yes. Lift up your hands. It takes crazy faith to get up on that rock. That's crazy faith. Noah and the ark, we know this story. They didn't rain for years. No rain, not even a drop. But he took out his tools, started whittling away, doing everything he had to do. Being made fun of. The interesting thing is, when you function this crazy faith, you will be laughed at. You will be made fun of. People will criticize you. They will talk behind your back, even in your face. But Noah didn't care. Job lost everything. Everything. Sometimes we get upset for losing our car keys. He lost his whole family, all his riches, every single thing. Put yourself in that position. You lose your job, your house, your car, your family, lose every single thing, and all you have is you. Sometimes we don't even like ourselves, but this is all you're left with. It's that crazy faith. By reading and looking at these individuals, what do we learn? When we live our lives safe, we will never be able to see the promises of God in their fullness. Never. Walking in faith requires us to step out into the unknown in order to know what God has planned for you and I. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. This is in the Passion Translation. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he what? He left with only a what? That's it. Just the word of it's going to happen. That's it. Word of promise. And without even knowing ahead of time where he was going, Abraham stepped out in faith. All it should take is one word. That's all it should take. One word from God. Sometimes we want a novel. We want the whole story. We want the whole thing planned out. But it should take one word of promise of God saying, go. I'm going to show you three principles of true faith. First one, true faith requires work. James chapter 2, verse 18. This is in the Passion Translation. I really like this translation. Is it on the screen? But someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove it to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by what? My works as what? Proof that I believe. The work here is stepping out in faith, making the move and trusting that no matter what, no matter if you're walking blind into what he has called you to do, he's going to see you through it. That no matter what he has called you to, he's going to see you through it. Have he told you, I'm going to use you to preach my word? Take that and start studying. It is crazy. Think about the time you got saved. This is how crazy our faith starts. See, that's the thing. Sometimes we start out with this crazy faith, but we end up with, I don't know what we end up with. But the crazy faith at the start is you saying yes to a God that you've never seen before. So if we start out crazy, how about we end crazy? End crazy in this faith. Second point, true faith requires belief no matter what. James chapter 1 verse 6. James chapter 1 verse 6, again the TPT version. Just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith without doubting that you will receive. For the ambivalent person, in other words, a person having mixed feelings or contradictory ideas, they believe one minute and doubt the next. Being undecided makes you become like the rough seas, driven and tossed by the wind. You're up one minute and tossed down the next. Hebrews chapter 6 verses 13 to 15. Now when God made a promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater than himself, he swore an oath on his own integrity to keep the promise as sure as God exists. So he said, have no doubt, I promise to bless you over and over and give you a what? A son, and multiply you without measure. So Abraham, what did he do? In what? In faith. And succeeded in seeing the promise fulfilled. When we live our lives safe, again, we will never be able to see the promises of God fulfilled. When we walk by faith and not by the circumstance around us, it is the faith that we have that is a true evidence that we have what we've been believing for, what we've been holding on to. Your faith is your evidence, regardless if you don't see it. Hebrews 11:1 in the King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. The TPT version says this, now faith brings our hopes into what? Let's get the TPT. I like how the TPT says it.
Sure.
So, now faith brings our hope into reality and becomes the foundation. We got there. Now faith brings our hopes into what? Reality. In other words, it becomes realistic. It's real. And becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. Your faith is the proof. Regardless of what's happening around you, regardless of the years that have passed, regardless of everything else doesn't function, your faith is the evidence to prove that you have what you've been believing for. Faith is required. Last point. True faith requires a test. Hear me in this. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Repeat it again. A faith that is not tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. What do I mean about this? What do I mean by this? In order to know if true faith works, there has to be a test. You cannot say, I have faith, but never go out in faith. Just like we test the waters when we go to the pool. We stick our toe in to make sure it's good temperature. When we taste the food to make sure it's well seasoned. Our faith needs to be tested. Now, my question to you today is, have you tested your faith? Have you tried to do or believe the impossible? The thing about this walk is, if you can do it, that doesn't mean it's impossible. If you can do it, it's not something you're doing in faith. You're just doing it. But it's the things that we cannot do alone that only God can do. Yes. Let me share with you a testimony. So my wife lost her, well, she didn't lose her job, but she stopped working since the beginning of January. And in the logical standpoint, we shouldn't have our house anymore. We shouldn't have our car anymore. I shouldn't be eating. I shouldn't have food. I shouldn't have clothing. It doesn't make sense that we're still there. It does not make sense to me. But because I chose to believe God, because I chose to believe God and not what is in or around me financially, because I chose to believe God, there is not one day that we have not went without food. There is not one day that every bill has not been paid. As a matter of fact, every bill has been on time more now than they have been before. I don't understand it. But it's when you put your faith to the test. When you say, Lord, I don't have it, but I know you have it, so this is yours. Yes. Watch what he does when you decide to test your faith. Watch what he does when you say, God, this is for you. This is yours. You give it to me. This belongs to you, not to me. Yes. Watch what happens when we test the faith. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, TPT version. It says like this, my fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, see it as an invaluable opportunity to experience the greatest joy that you can. And I tell you what, I've never been happy as I've been today. Even when we had enough, even when we had what seemed logical, like an abundance, I am more happy now than before. Because it is not me that's doing it. I'm not working it out. If it was up to me, if it was me, I'd have 5 jobs. Let's continue. For you know that when your faith is tested, what does it do? It stirs up power within you to do what? Endure all things. And then as your endurance grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. In order to be completely fulfilled in your walk, your faith has to go through a test. Even when the enemy comes to attack you every which way, throwing punch after punch, kick after kick, once we figure out that we can do all things in faith through Him who gives us the strength to do so. It doesn't matter how many times you've been knocked down. It's a matter of how many times you get back up. That's what matters the most. Because the enemy will use every single way to knock you down. And believe me, this week I've gone through some stuff. There was a moment I was like, what the heck is going on? But then I realized it's because today the Lord was going to heal some lives. The Lord is good. The enemy can try to knock you down over and over and over again, reaching into the bags of tricks, trying to find something he can get to you to get you on the floor. The reality is, this whole thing is that you have already won. You've already won. No matter how many times the enemy comes and tries to knock you out, if we keep the faith and continue to look towards the evidence of knowing that we have already won, we will be more than conquerors. We as believers walk by faith, but not only walk by faith, we talk by faith, we hear faith, we see faith, we express faith. Everything that we do as believers should be based on faith. Everything that we do. Joseph believed no matter what. He had his mountains and he had his valleys. But throughout the whole thing, he trusted in a dream, in the word that he received from the Father. He did not get swayed. So here it is. This is the day we must make a choice. Do we walk by faith or not? Do we walk by faith or not? Faith is the center of who we are. Faith is the center of who Jesus was, is. And I'm going to end with this. We started out in the radical faith. How will we end? If you want to please God, walk in faith. Hebrews 11:6 is the last verse. And without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that He is real and that He rewards the faith of those who passionately seek Him. Grows even stronger, it will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. If we want to please God, we have to walk in faith. Everybody to your feet, please. Father, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you because this faith walk, we know it is only done through you. It is only done because of you. Lord, we cannot do nothing without you. Father, we want to please you in everything that we do. So this day we choose to walk in this radical faith, believing that in you all things are possible. All things can be done, regardless of what is not going right. We choose to trust you. Regardless of how I feel or we feel physically, we will choose to trust you. Lord, right now we thank you for the victory over any and every obstacle of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the unexpected bill already paid. We thank you, Lord, for preventing sicknesses, viruses, and diseases to come into our bodies, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for shielding our minds, our hearts, even our emotions, Lord. That every single part of our being be completely moved by your Spirit. And that nothing else, Lord, may hinder your work in me. Father, we surrender ourselves unto you. Every single piece of who we are, from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, we surrender ourselves unto you. We choose to no longer walk in our sight, but in faith, in this radical faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. How many are blessed today? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many are going to choose to walk in faith today? Hallelujah. This is your day. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So in this moment, let us give God glory. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this hour. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we have been able to come together, whether live on stream or here in person. Lord, I thank you for each and every individual in this place, Lord. Lord, we declare a blessing over them, Father, that their lives may be overflowing with your riches, Lord, overflowing with your gifts, overflowing, Lord, with the abundance of, Lord, of your heaven. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for all that you do and all that you continue to do. Lord, cover each and every individual here. We declare a blessed and prosperous week. In the name of Jesus, we bind every single tactic, every single blueprint, every single plan of the enemy against your people. In the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Amen.